What better today, friend? Welcome to the Advantage Joy at Work podcast. I'm thrilled that you've joined me here as I help marketplace leaders unstuck their true potential to thrive in life and leadership, to build successful, sustainable business with collaborative, high-performance teams and joy at work with practical, neuroscience-based advantage guides and coaching. If you need an outside voice with a fresh perspective to challenge and empower you, your team, or business to a new level of performance and engagement, then let's talk now. Choosing to be at cause or at effect. There will be challenges. Regardless of your choices in life, you will face adversity, trauma, threats, difficulties, trials, and tribulations. Such as family or relationship issues, health problems, financial concerns, or workplace stresses. Everybody does. How you respond to those challenges makes all the difference in the world. Where is your locus of control? At cause or at effect? And again, I would recommend you look at the show notes at joyatwork.coach or watch the video version of this podcast. When you choose to be at cause for your life, your focus is on choosing your actions, and this increases your circles of power and influence, expanding them into your circles of concern. You have an internal locus of control. That is, you believe that you have control over external forces in your life. When you are at effect of others or circumstances, your focus is on factors outside your inner circles. And these gain ground, shrinking your circles of power and influence. You have an external locus of control. That is, you believe that external forces beyond your control have control over your life. When you are at effect, you are more likely to experience anxiety, which gives you the illusion of control over others or over external events. Now, this bears repeating. When you are anxious or you worry, this gives you the illusion of having control over others or external events. So, congratulations, your anxiety and worry about something beyond your control just reinforced and perpetuated your need to be anxious and to worry. On the other hand, when you choose to be at cause, you are reinforcing your stress resilience. Remember the shortcut and the high road in your brain? You'll notice that I say that you are at effect versus you choose to be at cause. That's because your default is to be at effect. It's not a conscious, thought-through choice. It's unconscious and automatic. Choosing to be at cause is a conscious, considered, deliberate choice that you make. As our brain senses information about any challenge ahead, you'll recall what we learnt in fear, stress, anxiety, and depression in your brain, that stimuli from the outside world first take the shortcut, either directly to the amygdala, smells and touch, or via the thalamus to the amygdala, sights and sounds. Or, that is, your brain is already reacting and responding to the threat of the challenge ahead. Meantime, some information takes the high road through the cortex, and your thinking brain can choose to change or reinforce the threat response. Milliseconds after your brain and body have started to react and respond, this is your moment of choice. This is the moment you can choose to be at cause. How does this help me? How do I stop worrying, anxiety and distress? Let me be clear, there isn't a magic pill that does this, no matter what Big Pharma tries to tell you. But we do have access to a simple solution. Before that, though, let's recognise two common enemies we all have in the conscious mind. Two enemies of being at cause. People most often spend much of their time and energy worrying or concerned about the challenges that they cannot control, which cause them to feel anxious or stressed. The first enemy is if only. If only I had the skills, money, strength, power, connections, fortitude, knowledge, faith, I would have... dot, dot, dot. If only my parents had... I could have. If only I were a different race, gender, nationality, person, I should have. If only I had studied harder, taken that job, not taken that job, gotten married, not gotten married, had kids, not had kids. If only pines over the past. The second enemy is what if. What if I fail? Succeed. Look stupid. What if frets about the future? The problem of these two enemies is they give you the illusion of control over others or external events. That is, you think that worrying about something makes a difference. Your mind would rather fret about the future or pine over the past so that it can cling on to its own illusion of control. But the current moment cannot be controlled. So our mind discounts it and we forget to savour and enjoy every now moment. That's adapted from Anne Voskamp's 1000 Gifts. The great benefit of facing challenges. No battles, no spoils. Without challenges in life, life becomes tremendously boring and mundane. We wouldn't learn and grow. Anything alive in this world that stops growing is dying. There is no stasis or status quo. It can be a slow dying, but it can be incredibly quick. Challenges, problems, obstacles, or opportunities, whatever term you prefer to imply, kick your fear circuits into action and by default your brain and body reacts. How you choose to face those challenges makes all the difference in your world. See, now that we've recognised the two main enemies that we will face, and we all face those challenges, which we still don't particularly like, but realise that they can be good for us to grow. Let's see what happens when we choose to be at cause. Choosing to be at cause. Some of the incoming stimuli is directed by your thalamus, your brain's reception desk, along the high road to your cortex, and of particular interest to us here, to your prefrontal cortex, or the PFC. Your limbic brain is already reacting to the threat of this challenge, and your body is responding as your sympathetic nervous system, the SNS, signals the production of cortisol and adrenaline. Your heart is beating a little or a lot faster. Your blood pressure rises. Your digestive tract is shutting down. Sweat glands begin to ooze. And you're taking the time to stop and think. In your mind, you're experimenting with possible solutions that you can do, will do, might be able to do. You're researching your memory banks for previous encounters and similar situations, and your prefrontal cortex makes a decision to test out a possible solution. This is what Carol Dweck calls the growth mindset. If it works, brilliant! Store the success in memory and get ready to party. If it doesn't work, okay. Let's try this instead. Rinse, repeat, until you get the optimal solution. Number one, you've overcome the challenge. Hurrah for you. Well done. Another lesson learned. What's next? Oh yes, party time. Here's another challenge. Or, number two, you've gotten past this challenge, somehow not brilliant, but good enough. Next time I'll be better equipped for such a challenge by having more X or Y available. Another lesson learnt. What's next? Oh yes, party time. Here's another challenge. Or thirdly, I've tried everything and this challenge is a bit too much. Good job, I am already number one, hiding in this corner, two, running away fast, three, fighting with every ounce of strength I have. Lesson learnt. What's next? Oh yes, party time. Here's another challenge. For every challenge you face, you have a choice. You can choose to be at cause, or you can allow yourself to remain at effect. It's not that one is better than the other. There are challenges that you are much better off leaving your brain and body to do what it does best, keeping you not dead. This was especially true when your forefathers lived in mud huts and faced the daily commute to the field where the lions roamed. There are, however, other times when your default fear response, stress and anxiety, they're less than helpful, particularly in the modern urban jungle, and the commute on the crowded freeway or train to the workplace with a horrible boss and the unkind colleagues, times when choosing to be at cause would be more profitable for you. How then do we lift performance at work using this knowledge? This is obviously about lifting performance for your bosses, staff and colleagues, because we already know that you are the hardest worker at your organisation. So in the next Advantage Guidepost, it's exactly what we're going to look at: how to raise performance and have joy at work. I'm Dr. John Kenworthy, and it's been my pleasure to share this Joy at Work Advantage Guide with you today. Thank you for joining me and supporting my work. Remember, if you ever think that you might benefit from an outside voice with a fresh perspective to challenge and empower you, your team or your organisation to a new level of performance and engagement, then let's talk now. You can follow the link at my website, joyatwork.coach. And if you know someone you know would benefit from this Joy at Work guide, please share this with them either by sharing the podcast link, or if you're listening on the Joy at Work website, it's even easier to just click the share button.